world. I didn't give you a countdown. Where are we?
Oh, no, I got a countdown. Oh, anyway, smooth sailing, as always, Tommy. And as you know, we're big fans of smooth here at Any Given Sunday. We're proudly supported by Nut Care. They've got great products like this, Bear Nuts. We've got Comfy Nuts. We've got Bear Butts. We've got, that's it. I think that's the free. Nut Care, that's the one, the wood. Proudly supported by these guys. They've been recently voted by Men's Health Magazine number one product in the industry, I guess you'd say. They're revolutionising male grooming. If you use code Any Given Sunday at the checkout, you'll get 10% discount automatically applied, as with all our sponsors across our broad range of sponsors here. But yeah, Nut Care, get around them; they're nuts.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
This has not been my smoothest start. Yes. Hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in at least three households. I have been told it is up to at least four or five now, which is huge for the program, right under all of us. It's also big in the NFL Australia head office, the Gridiron Australia head office, over in Winnipeg, and I have done an interview this week and up in Iowa, I believe. Yes, Boise State. So we're number one in Boise State as of this weekend when we drop that interview. I won't give away too much, but it'll be dropping on this weekend. Joining us, as always, down in his basement that is not in Iowa, Boise State. How are you, mate? TC24 at Tim Cardi, AGSAU.
Good. Just quickly checking on the map. It's definitely not in Boise State, so... Iowa. No, we're good, mate. We're doing very well down here in the secret basement location.
The Raider cave, maybe.
Raider den?
Ooh, the den. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll work on that.
Yeah, we will. I've just proven that you do not test things beforehand because it doesn't quite work when you try it. And it didn't give me a countdown and it did you. So that's
perfect. Yeah, I had a countdown.
No, I didn't. That's why I look like a dickhead when I was like, oh, fuck, straight into it. But we are. It's been a big week. It was a big week of games. A few really tight games, a few real smelly games, one that your team was involved in especially.
Wow, what are you talking about?
My game wasn't much better, so I can't really say too much. But, yeah, it was a big weekend, mate. How was yours?
Good. I had a couple of Chrissy parties and stuff. But, yeah, obviously got a lot of football in too. It was a bit of a tough week. Definitely tipping wise, there are a few sort of, I suppose you'd say upsets in there. So tough week on the tips, tough week if you were watching the Vikings Raiders game, 3 points scored for the whole game. It's a little bit smelly.
There was also I don't know which one of the team is. I know the Kraken is Seattle, but I don't know the team for Minnesota, their hockey game, but it was also 3-0. So they both won 3-0, which, smelly.
That would be like one of those weird stats that just has never happened before in history.
Yeah, scorigami kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My team also lost, which I knew we were going to. It was a good weekend for those on the brink, I think. It's really kept everyone. Well, we're week 15 and there's 30 teams that are still eligible mathematically for playoffs. There's only two teams that are out, which Carolina has won. I couldn't tell you who the other one is.
Yeah, it's definitely too many teams still in the bubble or in the hunt or whatever. Yeah. But
I think the NFC has everyone still available. That's both AFC.
Realistically. Jets, looks like. The Jets are the other ones.
There you go. They've
been eliminated.
Well, so Rodgers isn't going back.
The Jets, I'm saying the Patriots. Sorry.
Patriots are out, aren't they?
I was looking at the Jets just above the Patriots. The Jets still have a less than 1% chance of making it. So they're still in with a shot, I guess.
Less than one. You're saying there's a chance. There's a few teams that can clinch their playoffs this week, but we'll talk about that in the next episode. Don't forget to head to our link tree for our Game Pass code, our design Game Pass code, as well as our merch store. We are both not rocking our merch. You have it in the background, though, so make sure
We're representing our friends.
Also, shout out to Pro Kick's very own Iowa Hawkeye Torrey Taylor, who won in the past week. He won the Ray Guy Award this year for college punting. Some of his stats are incredible. He ended up with, like, it was four. I think he had more punting yards than they had offensive yards. So he had an incredible year on the punt. We did too, but
I won't say that.
Yeah, just not the same punt. So, no, huge shout out to Pro Kick's own Torrey Taylor for winning that one. But that does lead us straight into some Dr. Danny. I do have it. I don't have it quite ready. There it is.
Thank you for calling Dr. Danny's office.
And Dr. Danny is off in, we didn't mention her, so I think he's still in, is he still in Ireland? He's a lot of...
I want to say Dublin still, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of pints being sent through to us.
Oh, so. Like the creamy pints getting deleted by Danny Boy.
So that his office, while he's away, has been held up by C2C, Rare Threads, great supporters of us. And as we always say, just more and more gear coming in every week. So make sure you hit them up. Any Given Sunday is the code for 10% off. But we've had one bit of news that I just want to mention before we get on to Dr. Danny. So this is kind of one in the same, news and Dr. Danny. The 2027 Super Bowl location has been named. It's heading back to SoFi, which seems very quick because we're only there for the Rams to win theirs, what, 2 years ago?
Couple of years ago, because there's like a set criteria that the NFL has that to be able to host the Super Bowl. Obviously, it has to be. Is it a new stadium with a roof? Does it have to have a roof?
It doesn't have to have a roof because I know Levi's Stadium is coming up in the next couple of years in San Fran. That doesn't have a roof,
right? But it has to be one of the new, like, has to be a newer stadium or have like certain upgrades and things done to it. So I guess SoFi being one of the newer ones.
Also, this year's in Vegas. Well, I don't know, the Superdome in New Orleans, unless they've had some upgrades to it, that's not relatively new. Maybe the new name. It's not Mercedes Dome anymore. It's something else. So maybe the new name was enough to get it over there, but that's next year. Then it's Levi, and then I think it's back
but
to
like
SoFi.
But there's certain stadiums it's not going to be at, though, isn't there? Really? Like,
I don't think the Packers will ever have it.
No, it's like it's not going up to...
It's not going into a snow-filled stadium, for
sure.
Yeah, me
and saying Seattle will never get it. I got to imagine there's the Commanders probably until they build a new stadium. The Bears, even Soldier Field maybe, is getting a little bit...
They put a roof on it, though.
On the older side, so...
Yeah.
Certain criteria, but I guess we're booking tickets as soon as we can.
I've been just...
you can't book flights more than what... You can't book them too far in advance, can you?
Nah, but we'll just look at this month. We'll start with Vegas and then we'll work on going to New Orleans next one.
We'll
work on the next couple.
Sounds like a plan.
But there was some injury news that has come out today and yesterday, which is terrible news.
Great news for these boys.
Yes, in a game that we will speak about. But the Chargers have really copped, really a 1-2 left, right, good night kind of punch. They've lost QB and wide receiver one.
Yeah, Herbert's gone out and broken his... Is it a finger on his other on his throwing hand now?
Yeah, I remember him standing there, so I reckon it was like that.
Is it a finger on each hand? Either way, he's broken another finger or re-broken, I'm not sure, but he's out for the season. And then Keenan Allen's got a heel injury. I don't have anything more specific on that, but he's missing this week, which
short
obviously...
turnaround, so that hurts.
Sorry?
The short turnaround, I reckon, has hurt him.
Yeah, probably. He hasn't gone on to IR or anything like that, so it's just probably week to week, as they always say. But they did have Josh Palmer coming back off IR. He's been out since week 9, so that will help a little bit because they're going to have quarterback Easton Stick, as I just checked my notes, making his first start. So not ideal when you're losing wide receiver one. He's just last week he set the record, Chargers record for single-season catches with 108. So to lose him and you're coming up for your first start, it's a little bit deflating. And then also we've mentioned a few times the torch being on Brandon Staley as well. So he's lost his quarterback, he's lost his wide receiver one. Oof, it's probably looking like a tough finish to the year for him.
Does this give him a little bit of, oh, we had injuries?
Yeah, an excuse maybe, but they were they weren't going terribly well before this anyway.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. So I think it's going to turn up the heat.
It's still hot under on his seat, you reckon?
I think it's still a bit warm on that seat, yeah.
Yes, and yeah, I think it's a bit late. Like, I know they're mathematically in it, but I don't think they're mathematically in it this year. They're definitely one of the ones that are on the slide. But big week for you boys. Good time to, you know, build a bit of camaraderie and get that train rolling again.
We're still in the bubble. We're a massive chance, apparently.
You never know.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
That jumps us straight into a couple of game reviews. Do you want me to go through the other results? I don't know if we want to. We'll probably just stick to the three games that we actually mentioned that I think we'll stick to the three. So the first one's Ravens-Rams. Did you see much of the Ravens-Rams game? Or I watched a little bit. It was early.
I saw a little bit. You'll probably be better off taking the charge on this one.
Well, it was a pretty putrid weather-wise game. And the Rams, I kind of figured that they'd be blown out, but they did stick with it. 31 going down to Ravens 37. So Ravens now 10-3, Rams 6-7. It was actually in overtime with a punt return to win the game. So the Ravens went 3-out. The Rams also went 3-out and they punted back to the Ravens. And a punt return by Tyler Wallace. 76-yard punt return for the W. Yeah. So huge for that young man.
Yeah, and it put the Ravens out in front in the AFC conference on 10-3. Obviously, a couple of games we're about to talk to in a minute didn't go the way of the other contenders. So massive for the Ravens. I think one of the experts on our panel had them as lock of the week. I better just check my notes. Yep, it was me.
I did
have them. Yep.
Do you get a point if they don't win in regular time? This is bullshit.
A win's a win, baby.
It was a big game for both QBs. Lamar, 316 yards, 3 touchdowns. Did throw an interception, but also had 70 yards on the ground. Stafford didn't do himself any disservice. 3 touchdowns on 294 yards. So, like I said, it was pretty terrible weather, but both teams did ball out. But like you said, does put the Ravens in the number one spot, which I think going through Baltimore is going to be tough for any of those AFC sides.
The way they're rolling and just the way that they're finishing the year on this upward trend, I think a couple of teams have hit a couple of little speed bumps, a couple of big contenders have hit some little speed bumps, and as is easy to do, like with the NFL, they're starting to get questioned and, oh, they're not the team anymore. So I like the way the Ravens are trending, getting towards the pointy end of the season.
Yeah, I reckon they have just been sitting under the radar. They're getting the job done, but, you know, the 10-3, they are definitely a wagon to reckon with. Another big game that I didn't get to see too much of it because it was on at the same time as my Packers and Giants. Unfortunately, we won't need to talk about that game, but Tennessee 28 getting the job over Miami, which I think is their first loss at home for quite a while.
Massive, massive upset. Yeah, and losing at home, the Dolphins there. Probably could have taken that as an easy lock of the week, like, and just think, yep, no dramas, we're laughing here. But Will Levis, I think he had a record-breaking game for a rookie over, can't remember what the stat was, but something about an over 300-yard game for whatever point he's at in his career. He set some kind of record, so
yep.
On your big Will, and he was pretty pumped up. When they got the win in the end. Derrick Henry rushed for a couple of TDs, didn't have huge numbers, only 34 yards, but just got it done in the red zone where it counts. The big question marks, I think, coming out of the game are like the Miami defense, particularly in that last quarter. They had a 14-point lead with, I want to say, a few minutes left.
Yeah, it was 3.5, 4 minutes. It wasn't heaps.
Yeah, and I think the Titans might have set a record too for coming back from 14 points down with 3 minutes less or 3 minutes or less, or whatever it is. I think the record was teams that have been in that position was 0 and 756 or something times they lose. So
did see that.
First team to do that for quite a while. You only need one. But so the defense of the Dolphins, just how easily, particularly that last drive, how easily Will Levis just marched the Titans down the field. And then obviously they went for the 2 points, extra point at the end there, and that was enough. That got them the win. They didn't want to draw. They didn't want to go to OT. They wanted it there and then. And I think the Dolphins got the ball back with enough time.
Yeah. It was about a minute 40, but they had no timeouts, which hurt them.
Yes, that's right. They'd burnt their timeouts. Yeah.
And then Tua just didn't look – he wasn't as clinical. They didn't have Tyreek. Tyreek went down with an ankle injury early, but kept coming back on. But
which weirdly came back, like didn't go into the tent or anything, was off for a bit, and then came back and looked fine, like bouncing around.
But didn't look fine on the field, though, I reckon. They'd still just double-team him, and they were all over him. And just a couple of bad throws, you know, behind the sticks, and then – you know, no timeouts, so they've got to rush it back and you can't spike it because you've got no timeouts left. So and just, you know, end up getting sacked, I think, with about 40 seconds left. Then that was game over. Like,
that was it. That was game over. The Titans came out and kneeled out and that was it.
Yeah, and you said it right. Will Levis was pumped and he was looking jacked on the sideline.
He shredded the boy. And D-Hop also, a huge game from D-Hop, 124 yards and a touchdown too, so... massive game from D-Hop. So, yeah, good D-Hop for the Titans.
Actually, he beat me single-handedly almost in fantasy for Danny. I was looking very good for the win, which would have pushed me into finals in our first league. Danny ended up D-Hop and ended up having like 28 points, and he beat me. I was like,
You love to see it. You love to see it. There's always heartbreak stories, mate.
And I am one of them. You know, pretty much every league. Our last game that I wanted to talk about, Bills and Chiefs. Slight upset, you'd say, I think, just the way the Bills have been running and now sitting, getting the job 2017 done over the Chiefs. 7-6 now, the Buffalo Bills. They're kind of hanging on. Chiefs 8-5, and not about this game, but Broncos only one game behind the Chiefs, which is unbelievable to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, I think everyone wants to talk about the controversy at the end, which I definitely want to talk about. What are your thoughts about Patrick Mahomes blowing up at the end?
He's copped a lot of stick. Like, the biggest thing I saw was a lot of people saying, I lost respect for Mahomes, lost respect. It's like, yeah, like he carried on a bit and like probably crossed the line a little bit. And I don't know if it's come out if he got a fine or anything yet. But,
no, I haven't heard
that. Yeah, haven't heard anything like that yet. But he's a competitor at the highest level in one of the most scrutinized games in the world. Like, he's going to be living and playing on the edge so much. And to have, and like, the call was right, but I think his big argument was it's the context and the timing of the call. Like, they don't normally call these offsides and things like that. But when it was so blatant,
it was very, very, very blatant.
It's hard.
Like, amazing play to get that touchdown, but.
And it sucks because the play turned out to be awesome, but the ref called it immediately as soon as they were off the line of scrimmage. So it's not like the ref had seen the play beforehand and anything like that. So I can't blame Mahomes, and I certainly haven't lost respect for him. And if anything, it just shows how much of a competitive beast he is and like how much he cares and all that sort of stuff. So I think to a point I liked it. He might have just gone a little bit far, like when he kept going on at the end on the sideline and like was getting held back and that sort of stuff. Maybe a little bit like too much carry on there. But I didn't mind it at all, actually.
Yeah, I do think, like you said, that competitive aggression is good to see, and it shows that he still cares. You know, I think a lot of people thought when he signed that 10-year deal, you know, he's going to get 5-6 years down the track, and he just wants his money and leaves and stuff. It's still got that competitive juice and that competitive drive. But yeah, watching him go over, I think it was a bit too far when he was on the sideline getting held back. Like, you've had your say, move on. Like, and then going out and saying to poor Josh Allen, who had nothing to do with it.
You're right. That's probably the bit I didn't like the most. Because, like, what's Josh going to do? Like, oh, yeah, I know, bro. But,
stiff.
And, like, the internet, you know, everyone's got hindsight, 2020 vision on the internet. And so a lot of people, like, digging up old footage of a lot, like, lots of Chief wins and, like, even the Super Bowl, the no call on the pass interference and all that sort of stuff, and that sort of thing. So lots of people are like digging up all that sort of stuff, and that's easy to do.
Never loses, mate.
But it's like, that's just low hanging fruit. Like, you know, like people say that the Chiefs get a lot of help from the refs and da da da, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
I do think it's swings and roundabouts, and a lot of people have come out on the internet showing Tom Brady in a similar position, and they're like, oh, this is why he was better, blah, blah, blah. Took it on the chin a bit better.
No, I saw, because I saw that one, and someone trawled out the footage of Brady going over and chasing the head, the chief ref off the white hat off the field down the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, it's even better.
Yeah, he took the helmet off and was just giving him an earful right at his shoulder, that down into the tunnel.
Better. He held his composure so much better. Chasing him off the field.
Yeah, man, legit.
One thing to Mahomes' credit, he has come out and said, you know, I did cross a line, and he apologised. Yeah. And he said his biggest regret was talking to Josh Allen and saying, he's like, because Josh had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's right. Don't know if he's backed down from what he believes, like in terms of they shouldn't have called it, but he said, yeah, I shouldn't have overreacted that much.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Another question without notice that's, well, that was kind of led straight in. That was my question without notice, but I do have another small one. So I'll play my jingle, because why not?
It's time for questions without notice.
I play the jingle, so I'm going to choose to play the jingle. I just want to get your thoughts, and I don't hate or dishate them or love them, or dishate. It's an interesting thing that I don't think happens too many places besides the NFL. You know, it does happen in baseball and stuff, but that's the way they set it up, and that's the way it is. Teams playing each other 2 or 3 weeks apart, you know. Dallas played Philly 3 or 4 weeks apart. I think they play the Commanders.
Giants and Philly are playing each other twice within 3 weeks, I think.
Some of them are ridiculously close. And I just want to see your thoughts on teams that pretty much back up and play each other.
Don't really love it. I don't know why I don't love it. It feels like there should be more of a gap in between there. I guess there's enough time to digest it and improve, but maybe then it also, if they're a bit more removed, it gives a team a bit of a chance to turn their season around, say change their fortunes from say week 1 to 5, and then you're meeting them in the back quarter of the season. Like, a lot of stuff can change, like we've seen with the Broncos and things like that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, for whatever reason, I just like them a little bit further apart, I think, especially twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I reckon it happens, like I said, happens way too much for my liking. It is what it is, and I'm sure it's a tough job to get those games exactly where you want them. But
yeah,
I love the idea. The Packers seem to do it with, I don't know if it rotates with our division, but we always seem to bookend. Like, week 1, we played Chicago, and now week 17 we're playing Chicago. Week 18 we're playing Chicago.
I've noticed that a little bit too. Yeah,
I love it. We seem to do that every year with the Packers. We do it with the Vikings and stuff last year. I think that's gross.
Yeah.
So I feel like you said, there's enough weeks in the year in the calendar. You only play 3 teams twice, so surely you can work out that just a little bit more gap in each of them, I reckon. But yeah, for some reason, it's just the same as me. It pushes my buttons a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a weird one. I just can't quite put my finger on why I don't love it, but it's just something not right about it, I think.
We'll send in some mail, make sure that they hear us in the higher-ups.
Well, they listen. They're definitely listening now.
I do have, it's not quite ready, but I do have a jingle coming for you. It's a little bit of a funnier one. It doesn't actually say lock of the week. It's just a funny little jingle, and it might be here by the next time we
As long we as do you're it. Working on it, mate, that's all that matters.
But we have our lock of the week. Just our review. So how did we all go?
So week 14, it was a great week. I've already touched on for me. Took the Ravens. Kind of said it wasn't a super safe one. Sorry, I wasn't being super careful. I wasn't being super, what's the word? I wasn't going out on a limb. I was kind of being safe.
You went safe-ish.
But the Rams were on a 3-game heater. So
yeah. And they've got Matthew Stafford, so they're still
I was trying to toe a fine line. But anyway, I got up. Danny and Charlie both took the Lions. You took my boys, the Raiders, because I love it, because you hate the Vikings. But unfortunately, all three of you boys bit Barum. Got the crosses this week. So I'm the only one to score. So that puts you and me on 8. Charlie's stranded on 7. And Danny boy, super stranded on 6.
I think Danny, we both said that those two picking the same, they've gone ultra safe, but we both said this is not an ultra safe pick, I don't think. And we were right. So
as soon as I saw it was the Bears, I was like, you know what? The Lions have had a couple of little hiccups. Their momentum's gone poo-poo a bit. I love your pick, the Raiders, but unfortunately my boys did Raiders things and let you down there. But
I couldn't actually believe that game. I saw the score. I quickly checked on ESPN. It was 0-0 in the fourth. I was like, nah, this is wrong.
Can't be right. That's not updating. What's going on?
I jumped on my DAZN and checked. I thought, you know what? It's in Minnesota, maybe. It's absolutely snowing and like a blowing a gale. Nah, blue it spice. Was in Allegiant Stadium. It was under the roof.
Yeah, it was in Vegas. Yeah.
It was in Vegas and under a roof. I was like, what the fuck is this game?
Yeah, no, yuck. Yuck.
Yeah. And that's what they missed the field goal. I can't know. Greg Joseph, the Vikings. He missed a field goal in the second quarter. Who knew it was going to be so vital?
So important. Yeah. But anyway, tail of the tape there. Danny is last, standalone last. So he's going to need to be careful because we're running out of games.
What do I say? It's not about winning. It's just about not losing.
About not losing.
Yeah. So I've got to talk to you about a few of the – I've saw a few consequences for coming last. I just want to run them by you. I won't say it online because it'll blow up.
No,
but I'll run them by you and see what you think. But
we don't want to fire the fan yet.
Yeah, exactly. Last thing, tomorrow's game. We are doing it on the Thursday. So tomorrow's game, your boys versus the Chargers. What are your early thoughts, mate?
We touched on it earlier with Herbert and Allen both out, massive outs for the Chargers. The line is actually 3-point favourites to the Raiders at home for my boys. Don't have a head-to-head market here for some reason. But, yeah, 3-point favourites. Over-under is a nice small 34.5 points. Maybe attack the unders there, just the way things have been going.
New QB as well, starting.
Yeah, first start. Look, I'm going to obviously take the Raiders.
Which is 3 points.
Well, yeah, with the 3 points for sure. I just think the loss of Herbert and Allen, defensively, Raiders are being pretty sound this year. Just trouble offense. I think Aiden O'Connell is going to be the starter this week for the Raiders. So he's come out. He's had a couple of decent games. So, yeah, I'll be taking my boys.
57% of the money, surprisingly, is with the Chargers.
Okay.
You didn't say there's a head. You said there's no head-to-head, but...
I can't find the monies anywhere.
Funnily enough, the Chargers are favourites, even though it's in Vegas, and you're both 5-8, so I don't quite see...
Chargers are favourite. I've got the line, and this one is Vegas are favourites. Vegas are 3-point favourites.
Well, it's in Vegas, so Vegas sets the line, and they've gone, you know what, Vegas are going to win. It's a weird game. It could be an absolute thriller, especially with, you know, the backup quarterback season that we're having. Eastern Stick, is there a new QB bump, just like there's a new coach bump?
Nah, I don't think it's as reliable.
No, it's definitely not. But there's a reason he's a backup.
I wouldn't be tipping off the back of that or putting any sort of money on it off the back of a new QB bump, that's for sure.
But I do think, Max Crosby's under a bit of an injury cloud too. So I think that 34 might be a bit of strife.
Attack the unders, you think?
Well, if Crosby's out, I'd almost go the overs.
Oh, you reckon?
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Aiden O'Connell, he's an absolute dog, mate. He's going to come out and absolutely ball out.
Okay. All right. Maybe be careful going unders then.
It's a good line. It's a good line for some reason. It always is. They know more than what we do for some reason. I know you're heading away soon-ish, so we will definitely do our best to get one out on the weekend or Friday. We'll see how we go. But
tomorrow's Friday. We'll whip one out. We'll make something happen. We'll make some magic happen.
Good luck to your team tomorrow, mate, and then we'll say good luck to the Packers in the next one.
Yeah, that's exactly what we'll do.
That's it. All right, mate. Enjoy tomorrow's game. See you, fam.
See you, fam.
Peace.